One San Diego woman who's been in the forefront of the Right to Die movement worked for decades to get the law enacted in California, but she says it still doesn't go far enough. Joining me is Faye Gersh, president of the Hemlock Society of San Diego. And Faye, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Pleasure to be here.
There are a number of anecdotal stories of family members praising this new law for allowing their loved ones a dignified death. As a psychologist, did you expect that reaction from people who are close to those who've chosen to end their lives?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, it's the reaction of people who can't use the law, not eligible to use the law, or can't find a doctor to help them use the law. Those reactions tear me apart. But the reactions of people whose family watches them have a peaceful, dignified death, those are wonderful. There are just not that many of them.
Now, we did just hear that there's some resistance still among California's medical community, especially by doctors who don't want to become associated with the idea that you go to them to get these drugs in order to end your life. How do you react to that?
I'm not surprised. Oregon now is in its 20th year. There have been no abuses reported, nothing, but it's still hard, and even in Oregon, to find a sympathetic doctor. So I'm not surprised, since it's the first year of the law, that many doctors, I would say most, are reluctant to use the law. And the few doctors that do it, I think, are saints. I really am so grateful when I hear about a doctor that we can send a member to or people who call us.
Why did you get involved in the Right to Die movement?
Fortunately, it was not a personal experience, but I was on the ACLU of Southern California board in 1983, when a young quadriplegic woman asked to refuse food and hydration. And now that's a perfectly legal thing to do. Many people do it. But at that time, it was not legal. You could refuse unwanted medical treatment, but you could not refuse food and hydration. So the ACLU took her case, and because I was a forensic psychologist, I did a psychological evaluation to see that she was mentally competent and not depressed and that kind of thing. And she was a very sharp gal. She was a graduate of SDSU. We took her case, the ACLU, and we lost in the trial court. And it wasn't until 3 years later when the appellate court said she could refuse food and hydration, that she tried to die that way. But for her, it was way too painful. It is not an easy way to go.
Well, you know, as I said, I know that it took years for this movement to get the end-of-life option law passed in California.
Absolutely.
The law is very strict about who can use it and how it can be used. Do you think it's too strict?
I do, yes. I think it's too restrictive. We're the only jurisdiction, that is the United States, that requires terminal illness as the criterion. To me, it doesn't even make sense. Okay, you have 6 months to live. Are you suffering during these 6 months? Many people don't suffer. Many people suffer excruciating agonies of their disease, existential and physical, for years and years with chronic diseases, neurological diseases, brain tumors, things that are not fatal at the time. And they would not be eligible for this law. And then there's the whole area of dementia. So this law is okay. I mean, I'm grateful that we have such a law, but it certainly excludes a lot of people who should not be excluded.
Faye, do you think these drugs should be available to anyone who wants to end their life for any reason?
It's a big debate in our movement. I don't think so. I think I and other people, Derek Humphrey included, started another organization called Final Exit Network. It's a national organization that works with people who want to die who are not eligible under the California criteria or who don't live in states that don't have a right to die law. And our criteria, as in Europe, as in Canada, is unbearable suffering. And it doesn't have to be caused by a terminal illness. So I would prefer a criterion like that. I don't think 6 months is relevant. It is the criteria used by hospice, and that's how it came to be incorporated in the law. But 6 months to live does not tell you how much suffering is going on and for how long.
The California's law, you know, is still being challenged. A hearing is set for the middle of this month on the challenge that contends, exactly right, determining when someone has 6 months or less to live is arbitrary, and they claim that it opens the law up to abuse. So the people who are against this law are basically using your same problem with it as a challenge to its very existence. What's your reaction to that?
The people who oppose the right of people to choose how they die, to me, is irrational, inhumane, cruel, barbaric. So in my opinion, this law doesn't go far enough. And in their opinion, there should be no such right of people to make this choice. I have no sympathy for that position at all. So you came to the wrong person.
I believe, Faye, that you're in your 80s now.
I am.
Have your personal opinions about the right to die changed as you've gotten older?
No, they haven't, but they're more acute than ever because I'm on the way, you know, and especially the area of dementia. I mean, all these laws that we have are for mentally competent people, but the epidemic of dementia in our country and around the world is alarming and terrifying. So I think all around us is an effort to extend the law to people who are not competent any longer, because that's such a terrifying situation that can absorb one's last years of one's life, 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, at tremendous expense, financial and otherwise, to caregivers.
I've been speaking with Faye Gersh, president of the Hemlock Society of San Diego. And Faye, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Maureen. Thank you for having me.